Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're joined on the telephone by Senator Andreas Borges, getting an update following the recent legislative session. Senator Borges, one thing I haven't asked you about yet is just the overall state budget. You know, what are your thoughts on the document that was passed?
The California budget gives everyone the impression that we are on strong fiscal footing, and that is unfortunately not exactly true. We did have the ability to have a surplus, and I want to make certain that I use that word, conservatively, is that a surplus by California standards just simply is the excess funding above and beyond the obligations, but excluding the obligations in a long-term setting. So really, a surplus in California is not exactly a surplus. But what we had was over a $20 billion surplus this year. And we were very excited that this was an opportunity for us to invest and reinvest in California priorities. What was disappointing in the process is that if California is running a $20-plus billion surplus, then why are we constantly going back to taxpayers for more funding? It makes no sense. California seems to be speaking out of both sides of its mouth, where we're on good fiscal footing, but wait, we need to make certain that we increase taxes whenever and wherever possible. So I think that is going to be the continuing frustration that California residents have with the leadership that exists in Sacramento. But with that in mind, there are a couple of things that I think are worthwhile. We've been working closely on a bill called SB 559. Now, that is a bill that would provide infrastructure funding for the Fryant-Kern Canal in the Central Valley. And this is essential to agriculture, the future of agriculture and production, because the conveyance system that exists right now is only operating at 60%. So this funding, should we achieve it in the next legislative cycle, we asked for about $400 million from the governor, and we're hoping that we're going to get something out of it that would allow for us to invest in the infrastructure of the Fryant-Kern Canal in the Central Valley. So I think there are some good things. If we are spending money wisely and prudently, these are the types of investments that residents want us to make. The other are hardening of assets in fire-prone areas, whether it be the foothills or the mountains. We need to make certain that we protect our communities in these fire-prone regions. So appropriating dollars in a way that would go toward environmental mitigations with the forest-related threats, emergency preparedness plans, those are the things that people want us to invest taxpayer money in, and we are doing our darndest to make certain that those investments are realized. So I think in terms of the budget, I came into local affairs on the Fresno City Council in January of 2009. Now, what happened at the end of 2008, in the beginning of 2009? We went off an economic cliff as a country. So my job during that four-year period when I was on the City Council was keeping Fresno out of bankruptcy, keeping us solvent. So I remember how difficult it was to make choices for the betterment of a community when things are fiscally poor. And I believe that we are probably going to be entering a new era of recession. I think everyone appreciates that it's cyclical. We are bound to enter into another cycle where the revenues into the state will decrease. So I think this free-flowing attitude that exists in California, that our revenues are endless, is just silly. We are going to enter into a new period of fiscal downturn, and we need to have the discipline to make certain that when we make investments in California, they're in the right places, whether it's law enforcement, fire safety, or infrastructure, as opposed to pet projects that normally find their way in through the Sacramento political process.
You know, you mentioned that budget surplus over $20 billion at the state. That actually came up at the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors meeting I was watching earlier in the week, and the supervisors were talking about concerns about unfunded state liabilities, and the county's now having to cut positions and looking at tax increases, whether it be TOT or sales tax. Do you think there could be some changes on the horizon at any point when it comes to kind of rebalancing that balance when it comes to unfunded liabilities at the state level?
You know, I'd love to be able to say yes. But what happens, I think, is that Sacramento likes to take away local control, but loves to impose financial mandates that are unfunded. And this is the dynamic and the culture that exists. And I fought this tooth and nail at the local level when I was on the Board of Supervisors in Fresno County, and I'm doing so at the state level. We need to make certain that we empower local officials to the greatest extent possible. California does not have one-size-fits-all solutions, and we need to remember that local officials, whether they be at the city or the county level or even the water district level, that those are the individuals that are most knowledgeable in their given locale, and we need to make certain that we respect their jurisdiction and make certain that we respect their areas of expertise. That doesn't happen very often in Sacramento, but these are the things that I think come up periodically in different ways. And so it is a mantra, at least a mantra of mine, that we make certain that if you're going to impose a financial obligation in a certain area of California, that you consider what is the financial burden and can that entity bear it. And the idea of imposing unfunded mandates is just not fair. It's not responsible either. So I think this is part of that, the culture of Sacramento and the disconnect. So my job, as I see it, is to make certain that I am very close to the counties I represent, whether they be Tuolumne, Calaveras, Mariposa, Fresno, or Sacramento, that I stay in very close communication with these counties, all 11 of them, and also work closely with CSAC, which is the state representative body of the counties, or RCRC, which is the rural county representative body, to make certain that we advocate on behalf of our interests. Because as we all know, that the coastal powers tend to dominate Sacramento politics, whether it's L.A., San Francisco, or even San Diego. And the eastern side in central parts of California do not have the political clout necessary on many important issues. So our job is to work together. And whether you're a Democrat, whether you're Republican, the idea of us coalescing as a Valley delegation is one thing that I believe fiercely in and believe that we have been successful. So from all, you know, from Bakersfield all the way up to Sacramento, whether you're on the left or right side of the aisle, I believe it's my job to build consensus with my colleagues on given issues so that we can achieve a united front on areas and issues of most importance.
You know, when you look at your district, as you mentioned, it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest in the state. The economy, you know, it's obviously different, as you mentioned, from some of the coastal powers, their economy compared to things that we have in this area of the state. Are there things that you see that could be done kind of more at the local level or from the state level that could help kind of our region of California?
Oh, every day there's ways that we can contemplate helping out underperforming areas, especially in the Central Valley. We have large segments of unemployment. We have aging populations. We have a lack of diversity in the economy. And so you name it, we have challenges in the Central Valley, whether you're in the base or in the foothills or mountain communities. We have very, very unique challenges that are definitely different than those on the coast. I've spent a good amount of time trying to build consensus in relationships with individuals in the legislature that believe that we need to enhance our medical training facilities, for example, in the Valley. And we have gotten the ear of the governor, thankfully, as well as some other key lawmakers, and we're expanding the UCSF Fresno medical training facility. We have the UC Merced that is opening up its medical training facilities in a more broad and effective manner, but also clinical. medical training and access to healthcare. These are things that we need at the Valley, and we need to hear from the locals as much as possible and work together to send this message to as broad a base in the legislature as humanly possible. Because if we don't unify on any given issue, we will get steamrolled by the coastal powers, because they have the ability by the numbers alone to set the agenda and have the ears of those in important positions.
Need to take one more break. Talking with Senator Andreas Borges on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.